You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm your host, Brad Jackson.
And we are freezing our balls off.
Nah, man, we got it made. I mean, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there for the record. You know, Trump's been in office for less than a year, and all of a sudden, like, global warming's fixed itself. Like, the nation's temperatures have plummeted.
Yeah. First episode of 2018, and, you know, the East Coast is experiencing a historical blizzard and low temperatures throughout. So,
you know, I was reading about in Florida with the iguanas and stuff, and you know, the temperatures dipping low are causing the, you know, iguanas to basically go into hibernation, so they're just like falling over out of the trees because they're getting, you know, in that cool down mode.
Oh,
and
it's raining iguanas. Yeah, I've seen people, like, talking about snowing in Florida and, like, so South Georgia areas and stuff like that, and they're like, we've never seen snow, what the fuck? So, to go with our kind of cold weathers, what are we smoking this week, Brad?
So, this week we are smoking CAO's Wicked Winter. This is going to support a Honduras wrapper with a broadleaf binder with Honduras and Nicaraguan filler.
Yeah, it just said Honduran wrapper. It didn't say what it was. I mean, it looks like probably Habano or, Maduro.
I mean, you know, off the bat, I mean, it does have a touch of spice, so it very well could be, you know, something with some Habano. Some of the other CAO cigars are, you know, kind of different blends of the CAO Gold or the MX2. When we talked, I don't know, what was it, the year before last about
it was
the...
Probably a couple years ago. Yeah, and we've talked about aging cigars and like that. So these cigars were a limited edition holiday release. For a few years, CAO was releasing holiday cigars. Yeah, and the Rabid Reindeer, if you can still find, is probably one of my favorite smokes. But this was another one of their releases from 2015. So these cigars have got, you know, at least two and a half years on
this
them.
This is now the Wicked Winter XO.
Yeah. And I got to say, even though, like I said, these things, because some people have asked, you know, can you age cigars like you age, you know, other things? I'm like, yeah, I mean, it... Yeah, as long as you keep them humidified, and you know, you're not going to lose that much flavor on, you know, the strength-wise may occasionally drop just, you know, a tick or two, but, you know, it's, cigars will last. I mean, you can store your cigars and age them and, you know, keep some around.
See, here's
for
my
a
problem
years
with aging cigars.
Not smoking them?
I smoke them before they age.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say that, you know, when we start talking, you know, if you're doing some research about aging cigars, you're going to, you know, see some terminology called plume. A lot of folks, you know, think that plume is mold. That is not the case. Vastly different. So, yeah. You know, a cigar with some plume is good. A cigar with penicillin growing on the top of it is no good.
Yeah. Little ashy, good. Green and furry, not good.
Like the Korean barbecue beef jerky that we discovered at the gas station.
That was
no
scary.
Bueno.
Yeah, if that was the color is supposed to be, I still would not eat that because it looked aged.
Well, it made me wonder, so I flipped over the other packages, and they were not the same. So, you know, maybe the sill on that one had broke, or, you know, it had, you know, came into contact with moisture, but who knows. But anyway, enough about bantering about racetrack. This cigar is really good, just like the other CAOs that we had smoked. I'm going to put this one at a, I don't know, maybe a medium, borderline medium full on, you know, like you said, you know, it just says Honduras wrapper, but I'm getting a hint of spice there, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is either a Habano or Habano Maduro, because it's, yeah, it's, there's some sweetness to it, but it definitely, I'm picking up some spices.
So, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. As we get into the first third, we'll keep you folks abreast as we continue with the main segment.
And so, you know, also another thing to keep you warm and get you through the winter, call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Kick the can. You don't need the can. In fact, if you hold a can in this weather, it will probably freeze to your hand. So get rid of the can and get yourself a Strike Force. And don't forget to use promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order.
Weird. So, you know, what are we talking about this week, Joe?
Well, you know, first off of the year, let's talk something kind of a new concept. You know, Netflix, we've talked about their original series. And
you know, I thought we were going to talk about Netflix Marvel stuff.
No, not yet. but Netflix has, you know, they've produced a lot of great, you know, original series. We've talked about Stranger Things. We've talked about Punisher. And they've, you know, put out a few, like, you know, original movies and whatnot. But this is probably, like, something... Not only is it kind of different being a huge, but, like, full Hollywood budget movie, it's, like, a serious... I think they had to invent a new category for this movie, but we're going to be talking about Netflix originals Bright.
Yes, and, you know, with no further ado, we'll be jumping into the main segment here shortly.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold and bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let you down. We're broken people now. We're broken people now.
Tell me I won't never be nothing. Ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom. I got a mouse on the prize, and inside I'm damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name. We similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name. Right now, I'ma make it somehow. Make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today. Like, I'm all on my own now. I won't ever let you down. Won't let you down.
And it's time for the main segment.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. We're talking about Bright after installing new light fixtures in the
I mean, it's fitting. And plus, when I think of Bright, I'm thinking about the warmthness of a nice fire and, you know.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah. It was bound to happen at some point.
It's like, now every time I hear that song, I hear the steampunk giraffe version. I can't I can't listen to the original.
I don't want to know what you do in your free time when we're not podcasting, because at least I can supervise then.
Oh, no. I fell down a hole one night and put my Pandora on the steampunk mix and listened to a lot of steampunk giraffe. So we're talking about 2017's Bright, produced and directed by David Ayer and written by Max Landis. Yeah, this is a...
You know, well, before we actually get into the film, let's talk about leading up to the film, because we touched on it briefly in one of the nerd news segments when, you know, we kind of first got our glimpse of, you know, what we thought the film looked like based on the trailer. And I was thinking Bad Boys with orcs, and I'm thinking, you know, we're going to get a comedy. You know, I'm thinking we're bringing Wild Wild West Will Smith back and, you know, flipping it into the World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I mean, from the trailers, it definitely looked like it was going to be, you know, a comedy or something kind of silly, you know, because, you know, it's Netflix and it's like there's orcs, you know, but, you know, it turned out to be a serious cop drama. In fact, it's so different that I think they had to invent a new category for it, because Wikipedia describes it as American urban fantasy action crime film. I mean, it's basically, you know, Training Day meets Lord of the Rings. And, you know...
And instead of trying to kill the orcs, we've sort of, you know, we've got one orc who's like, I've always wanted to be a cop, and now I've got a chance to be a cop. And... Like, the political climate of the film was probably the thing that I wasn't expecting the most. And You know, from not seeing Will Smith in a whole lot of anything outside of, you know, Suicide Squad, this movie kind of restored my faith in Will Smith, you know, being a legitimate actor again.
Yeah, I mean, and before we even get into, like, the crux of the movie, I mean, a lot of, you know, Hollywood critics, I mean, everyone who had, that real people I know have seen it, love this movie, but the Hollywood critics are bitching at it, because it's kind of a threat to the normal Hollywood thing of...
What, you know, reboots and, you know, hey, how can we take this same idea and rehash it 15 different ways?
Not only is it, you know, an original movie, it's a movie made for streaming. You know, they're and it had, like, a $90 million budget. So it had a legitimate Hollywood movie budget, but they're not spending a fuck ton of
marketing and
having to send it around in theaters. But even that, you know, for a Netflix original, like a lot of the stuff like Stranger Things, I just caught people talking about it on Facebook, saw a few ads here and there. But this thing was advertised like a legitimate movie. I mean, I saw ads for it on TV. I think I even, I can't remember what movie I saw, but there was actual theatrical trailers in the theaters for a little Netflix film. So it's definitely, you know, changing the landscape of how we see movies if this is going to be the new standard.
But I mean, standard. You know, since Netflix at its inception, and you know, since then, Amazon and Hulu and, you know, YouTube now really getting into the TV streaming game, much more than just user content videos. I mean, you know, shame on Hollywood if they didn't foresee it coming. And, you know, there is definitely, I think, some changes, you know, that are coming down the pipeline that, you know, films like this are going to be the new standard. I mean, you know, when VHS came about, you know, oh my God, you know, that's a big threat because now, you know, people can record content at will or, you know, share content. You know, then we had DVDs, you know, for a long time, piracy's been, oh my God, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, these Hollywood elites, you know, that you know, people obsess over for some unbeknownst reason to me, like, you know, you're going to have to adapt and you're going to have to overcome. Otherwise, the world's going to pass you by. And me personally, I kind of welcome a change because I'm kind of sick of the same old Hollywood.
Yeah, and if you talk about probably the big three of streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, they've all, you know, kind of pretty much established themselves as legitimate TV networks where there's, you know, several, like, original series and whatnot. But then, you know, and they've, you know, they've been releasing some films, like, but, you know, typically comedy, horror, independent, you know, cheaper movies. But this is, like, the first thing I can remember that's, like, you know, nearly a $100 million movie made for streaming service. So it's like, you know, they're like, all right, we've established ourselves as a legitimate TV network. Now we're trying to, you know, make us a legitimate movie studio as well.
But, I mean, you know, stuff with, you know, Stranger Things and everything. I mean, there's so much popularity. And, you know, all of the stuff that we've seen Netflix do with the Marvel, you know, series and stuff like that. Like, you know, it's going to be phenomenal content. Like, yeah. I look...
And even with Disney now trying to compete in the streaming market, you know, with buying Fox and all their content and, you know, sometime within the next couple years starting their own streaming service. I mean, it's going to get to the point where... What's the point of having cable when at all?
Or, you know, I'm still waiting, you know, to, you know, I think we've definitely seen a much shorter turnaround time, you know, from the time a movie comes out on theater to the time that it makes it to Blu-ray and digital streaming formats. You know, like, I'm waiting for the...
Like, same-day availability.
Yes.
Yeah, you can go see Star Wars at the, you know, Megaplex or whatever, or you can just... go to your Netflix, Disney, whatever, and watch it in your home, because, I mean, there's certain movies I absolutely want to see in theaters on the big screen, like, for, you know, until I have a, you know, however giant IMAX screen in my house, I still want to go see Star Wars in IMAX 3D.
You're going to have to get a projector and some big quilts.
Yeah, freaking Pitch Perfect 3, I don't care, I could see that at home.
Yes.
or especially comedy movies, too, because comedy movies not necessarily need to see it in a giant theater to enjoy it. But, you know, your big action, your big sci-fi, those still kind of require a sizable screen, but, you know, everything else, like I said, in my 46, 56 inch TV, it's perfectly fine sitting at home in my man cave.
Just step it up to a 72 inch 4K and, you know, you'll be right at home.
Just get one of those, you know, projectors and just cover the whole wall and be like, all right, it's like I'm, if I sit close enough, it'll be like I'm at an IMAX.
That, or it's going to be like the Oculus, you know, you're just going to put on a headset. So, you know, you've got like full immersion going on with.
Yeah, because that's going to be the, you know, as the VR stuff is becoming more and more popular, you know, if you can strap on a headset and look like you're in an IMAX theater, you know, that's going to be the the best thing with movie content. I'm like, be totally lazy not to leave my house.
It's like, what? I don't have to put on pants. Sorry, if I want to serve myself whiskey or something, I can do it. Not have to worry about they're driving.
Like, the theaters have bars now. I'm like, yeah, but I have a bar in my house. I can make popcorn. Fuck.
And I don't know about you, but I've yet to go to a theater where I've been legitimately impressed by the offerings of said bar.
Yeah, bar alcohol's as overpriced as bar popcorn and everything else is.
Not necessarily bar alcohol, but theater bar. You know? Let's talk a 6-foot, you know, folding table with, you know, here's some colorful stuff, and we got vodka, and we got Bud Light.
We got both types of beer, Bud Light.
Now that we've shat on Hollywood, I feel better about myself.
This movie, like I said, I expected, you know, something kind of cheesy, something more comedic. And then, like I said, we got Training Day or End of Watch with orcs. I mean, they didn't treat it like super fantastical. You know, they're like, no, this is just a world where orcs and elves and fairies exist. It's just regular. It's almost like it's an alternate world where the Lord of the Rings shit happened. And now we've made it to modern times. And in the movie, they even reference, like, well, the orcs serve the Dark Lord and shit, so we can't trust them. They're all, like, fucking evil. And, you know, it's, you know, and, like, and my ancestors slaughtered them by the thousands back in Russia or whatever, you know. And it's like, yeah, like, the stuff, because, you know, normally if we see orcs and elves and all that shit, it's in a
2,000
medieval,
years ago,
or farther back time frame. So it's weird seeing them in the modern world. So it's like all these weird fantasy movies we've always seen, this is what would happen 2,000 years later when they're just kind of like, yeah, the orc runs a 7-Eleven down the street. Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it was really, you know, kind of cool how they did, you know, almost these social classes. Like, you know, you got your orcs that are just the, you know, kind of gangster, you know, stick by, you know, Your own blood and your own kin.
They were very much like the Bloods and Crips. Yep. I mean, they were, you know, you either seen them just as like normal dudes, or they're like all wearing like football jerseys and, you know, gang members and whatnot.
But then
you see the elves
that are, you know, driving their, you know, super cars. You know, they've got this super fancy, elaborate architecture in the cities and everything. And
yeah, I did like how they, because I mean, this was L.A. So the elf side of town was Beverly Hills. And they even had, like, the Beverly Hills sign you've seen in every movie or picture of L.A., but it was written in Elvish. Yeah. So it's like the elves are the Los Angeles elite.
But I don't know. I mean, it was kind of fitting. Like, you know, people think L.A. and they think, you know, just all of the downtown shops and everything. But, you know, nope. Go a few streets over, and it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
I think the film did a very good job of, you know, drawing some of those contrasts. And, you know, I thought it was really cool, you know, from just the standpoint of, you know, hey, here's this orc kind of going against, you know, tradition and everything else because, you know, he's following what he's always wanted to do. And
yeah, because that's the one thing, the character of Nick Jacoby, he's the first orcish cop, and he's really ostracized because he is, the cops don't trust him because orcs typically
stick to their
clans and whatnot, and the orcs don't trust him because he's a cop. It's kind of like people that, you know, used to hang with their homies and now they're cops and they're like, you know, I don't trust you now because you're you the man.
Yeah. And also, too, the fact that, you know, I mean, you know, he hadn't been blooded, so he didn't have the full-on, you know, orc's teeth. They had been, you know, rounded off and everything.
Yeah,
because
that's the thing they talk about is he's, you know, I mentioned it, it's kind of like Training Day, and, you know, David Ayers, the director, he, you know, that's why this looks like every, like, hardcore cop drama, because he did write and direct Training Day, End of Watch, all these, you know, great cop movies. I mean, and he also did Suicide Squad, so he's worked with Will Smith before.
And I think there's a fairy messing with the lights in the... Quick, go get your broom.
That's one of the funny things, too, in the movie. Because, you know, like I said, it's a serious cop drama, but it's a Will Smith movie. It still has its comedic elements like any other. Like, Training Day had some funny shit in it. But, yeah, there's orcs, there's elves, and there's fairies, but the fairies are almost like just freaking vermin. They're like like the pigeons of the magical
world. They're
squirrels. Yeah. They steal shit, they get in your bug zapper, and like Will Smith is like, nah, his wife is like, you need to go get that kill that fairy.
And it's like,
no way, my buddy.
Can't we just call a guy?
My buddy when we were kids, I'm afraid of him, my buddy when we were kids, like, poked one and it like crapped in its own hand and threw it at him. And his eye got infected and it swole up. I don't want to do that. And she's like, get out there and kill the damn fairy.
and it was funny, too, because I'm expecting, like, Tinkerbell, you know, ish fairy, but no, like,
this thing's got teeth
and it's like, damn, this thing's like a rabid raccoon with wings.
Like,
it's one pissed off sugar glider.
he's an LA cop, but he, like, the next door neighbors are all, like, you know, gang guys, whatever. He's like, oh, no, y'all just
keep doing your gangster
shit.
I'm just trying to sell
my house. Don't worry about it. And they're like all gonna shit. And they're like, what are you gonna do? LAPD on that freaking fairy. He's like, hey, fairy lives don't matter today. Beats it to death with a broom.
But yeah, I mean that was kind of the other thing too. Is, you know, I don't remember Will Smith in a movie with, you know, a lot of the cussing and everything else. Like, that kind of struck me, like, that's not like the typical Will Smith.
Well, we've seen him in a lot of, like, family-friendly. Yeah. I mean, if you go back to, like, when he first got into, I mean, he's kind of become, like, the leading man family actor. But if you go back to, like, you know, Bad Boys and stuff, I mean,
yeah, which,
back in the day. But even as a rapper, he was like that. He never cussed in any of his raps, yeah, and shit, so... Him telling people to fuck off and stuff is just...
Yeah, I mean...
You've forgotten that that element of Will Smith's career.
I'm like, you know, it's... I use this a lot, but it's almost like, you know, remembering Bob Saget from Full House or from America's Funniest Home Videos, and then you see Bob Saget do stand-up comedy, and you're like, ah!
Yeah, you're like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air just told a guy to go fuck himself? What?
Uncle Phil would not put up with that.
Exactly. Yeah, and Will Smith plays Daryl Ward. And basically, you know, he's the Jacoby, or we mentioned the unblooded. Apparently the orcs, you have to do some kind of great feat of bravery before you're like, you know, the other orcs recognize you as like almost like a
almost
rite
like
of passage.
Brother. Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to grow your tusks out until you've done something spectacular. So not only is he rookie in the cop world, he's pretty much a rookie in the orc world too. And it's very much where, you know, Will Smith is the older or more experienced, you know, leading officer in training, you know, the dumbass rookie who also happens to be an orc.
But, you know, I mean, all right, so I guess from here on out, you know, kind of spoiler alerts, I think this is where we actually start getting into, you know, the premise of the film.
Yeah, and it starts off with, you know, they're on patrol, and, you know, bad police work on Will Smith's part, because he's sitting outside of his car texting, not paying attention to his surroundings, and his partner's buying a burrito. And some dude just comes out of a gas station or store or something with a shotgun and blasts him. And, you know, everyone assumes that since it's an orc suspect, you know, his orc partner, you know, chased him down and they're like, oh, he let him get away. Because,
yep.
So none of the other officers trust Nick, and, you know, and it's...
Well, I mean, Nick doesn't, you know, you know, they don't trust him. Will doesn't necessarily, you know, trust him. And, you know, I thought the internal affairs aspect of thing did a really good job of, you know, really setting up a double cross and, you know, ultimately bringing Nick and Will together.
Yeah, because, you know, Nick, I mean, Will doesn't like him. He's like, I don't want this guy in the car, but I'm not, like, actively trying to fuck him over. Yeah. I mean, if he ends up being a bad cop, he ends up being a bad cop. But I'm not going to, like, you know, find a reason to get rid of him. And, you know, all his partners are like, or, you know, the other, like, no, we got to get him out of here. And even his sergeant and the, or not, it was the captain.
Yep.
And the internal affairs guys come in and they're like, hey, we measured that alley. There's no way the suspect got away. Your boy had to let him go. So, like, we can't just fire him because he's, like, the first orc cop and the entire nation is watching us. So we need a legitimate reason to get rid of him. So you get him to tell you that he let the suspect go and we'll get him the hell out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, and I mean, you know, Will, you know, he kind of, you know, stands up at that point and he's like, nah, guys, fuck you, you know, yeah. Like,
you know, same you point, want he doesn't this, like you, him, but he's yeah. like, he's a cop. I'm not going to, like, you know,
ruin his career throw... or his image without, you know, some sort of proof or legitimate reason.
Yeah, because, you know, in law enforcement, you may not like the guys you particularly work with, but push comes to shove, you know, they're a fellow officer and you're going to have their back if they get into some shit, you know. You're still going to show up on that call to back him up, even though if you think he's an asshole and don't talk to him when you're not at work. But when y'all, everyone, doesn't matter race, color, creed, everyone is blue or, you know, brown in the case of sheriff's office guys. But like I said, you always have that, you know, your fellow officer's back. But, yeah, so that was kind of cool that even though he didn't like him and would have been happier with them getting him the hell out of his car, you know, he's like, nah, I'm not going to fuck this dude over just because y'all want him out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, seeing, you know, Will Smith's interaction with the other orcs, like, you know, at one point when they're riding in the car together and, you know, you see the group of officers just, you know, straight up beating the shit out of, you know, that one orc, and, you know, Will Smith, you know, got Jacoby, you know, or Nick in the driver's seat, and he's like, so what's it going to be? Your brother's in blue, or are you going to help your, you know, your fellow orc? And, you know, about that time another call comes in, and, you know, they drive off, and, you know, I was like, that's kind of fucked up coming from, you know, Will Smith's standpoint. Like, you know, like, you don't... You know, at that point, I'm like, all right, so you're not necessarily going to fuck this guy over, but, you know, you're legit just going to watch, you know, the other guys, you know, do some shady shit and, you know, turn a blind eye. Like, really? Like,
that's LA.
I mean.
And, yeah, Nick is played by Joel Egerton. But, yeah, and I like they've established this world where, you know, not only creatures, but magic exists, and it's normal to everybody. But then they go find this crazy dude who's, like, waving a sword in the middle of the street.
The Dark Lord is coming!
Yeah, and it's the Sons or something. They're basically, like...
Like the Sons of Light or some shit,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Sons of Light. It's basically, like, the... You know, while everyone else is kind of given up on magic, the creatures are still here, but we're not, you know, actively using magic. There's a group of humans that are all, you know, we still believe in the old ways and magic and all this other stuff. But I like when they first pull up, because it was like, you know, the typical rookie thing. They show up to, you know, and there's like a sheriff's officer there, you know, monitoring the situation. And him and Will Smith just get out and start bullshitting. And Jacoby's over there with his, like, gun drawn and, like, you know, freaking super serious because he's like, yeah, still the rookie, and they're just over there talking, this crazy motherfucker out here in the road swinging his sword, and he's looking over them like, guys, am I doing the right thing?
It's like, just keep your booger hook off the bang switch, you'll be all right.
Yeah. And then Mike's like, all right, you know, go ahead, take him down, rookie. Yeah. He's like, sir, get on the ground. Oh,
but I mean, you know, that was kind of interesting, you know, you. Seeing all the other orcs and, you know, their gangster persona, and, you know, here you got Nick that's obviously, you know, never had to actually fire on a perpetrator or anything, you know, so, I mean, it was kind of interesting. It's almost like first day in.
yeah, I mean, he, like I said, he did a great job of portraying that, you know, not only am I...
You know, but it was kind of, you know, the other interesting dynamic is, you know, like, when they're cruising the streets and they see, like, you know, a group of the orcs and, you know, they're over there fucking, you know, using vehicles as fucking weights and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if I'm in Nick's shoes and I've got that kind of strength, like, all right, motherfucker, you're going to talk some shit, but then your ass is going through about six concrete walls. Like,
and I do like, they pull up and, like, all these, like, you know, big... thuggish orcs come over and is like, what's up? And Will Smith's like, hey, you get back the fuck up or I'm gonna tell your parole officer you're out here drinking with the homies. And he's like, sorry officer, I'm gonna leave. And he's like, but yeah, they and I do like once they arrest the crazy guy with the sword, he's like in the back of the car and he starts speaking to Nick in orcish and he's like, the fuck's this guy saying? And he's like, you and your partner in a prophecy. He is the blessed one. You know, the Dark Lord has come. And he's just like, yeah, he's talking crazy shit. You know, he's like, Muslim's like, you know, what the hell is he saying? He's like, nothing, man. He's just talking some crazy shit. He's like, the fucking you. Prophecy isn't one night.
But then that whole, like, vomiting scene straight out of The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. Muslim's like, hey, man, can you sit back? You kind of smell like shit. And then he pukes at him. Oh, yeah, that picking up the drunk guy and the puking in the patrol car on your way back to the station is one thing that's, like, it's not fun. They don't tell you about that in the academy, like, hosing out your car because some drunk is, like, Ralphed all over it. That's the non-glamorous side of law enforcement they don't show you in the movies. Dirty Harry never had to hose out the backseat of his patrol car.
The struggle is real. But I'm surprised. Like, I figured they'd have, like, inmate detail or something, like, hosing out the car. I didn't realize it was, you know, fucking officer doing it.
Oh, no, I always made an inmate do it.
I was like, because that was a weird thing, you know? I mean, that's, you know, we're talking about the, you know, internal affairs and the, you know, captain showing up to try to, you know, give the setup on Nick and, you know, that's how they approach Willie's. They're hosing the car. But, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Nick knows some shit's gone down. And, you know, like, I guess I really like that dynamic, too, where, you know, eventually Will Smith's like, so, come on, dude, break it to me, you know.
Yeah,
what
like,
the fuck really happened? And, you know, it's like, I need to know I can trust you. And, you know, Nick looks over and it's like, really, you need to know that I can trust you, but... you won't tell me about this shit that I already know went down. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like,
how do you expect me to trust you if, you know, you
yeah,
don't
I can't trust
me.
You if you don't trust me. And he kind of goes about it reluctantly. He's like, so, you know, partners have to tell each other. You know, doesn't go, like, straight out, like, hey, did you let this guy go?
Yeah.
You know, he's, like, you know, kind of hemming around the bush and whatnot. But then they get a kind of a disturbance call, and they roll through, like, a bad neighborhood. And he spots, like, a lookout, you know, like a typical drug house. But as soon as they stop the car, freaking people just start shooting at him and stuff. And it was kind of cool because they're down behind the car. And he's like, is this your first gunfight? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you got any holes in you? He's like, only the ones I was born with. How are your holes? He's like, dude, how do you make a gunfight awkward?
You know, I do say, though, that, you know, in this world of magic, they definitely had some magical guns, because at no point do I remember a reload, you know, coming from the officers.
Well, they did. Like every time they paused, he was, like, reloading, but they dumped a lot of ammo, and never once did you hear him get on the radio and call for backup. So he's like, but it was cool, because he's kind of like, you know, at the same time, he's, you know, Jacoby's all, you know, obviously, like, kind of scared, but Will Smith's like, yeah, it's not the first time I've been shot at. He's like, wait for the reloads when they stop firing, then we return fire. And he's still, like, you know, trying to teach him something,
yeah,
even though he doesn't really like him and assumes he's going to get him killed.
It's like, if nothing else, you're going to make a hell of a shield.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was kind of cool, because after this scene, we kind of get introduced to, you know, a new character group called the Brights.
Yeah, once they finally take out the guy that's shooting at him, and they go in there and find it's a safe house for the Sons of Light, and some bad shit's gone down, because there's people just roasted, and there's an elf that's, like, made part of the wall, and they find this hysterical girl named Tika, who happens to drop a magic wand. And apparently she's part of a group called the, played by Lucy Fry, called the Inferi, which is kind of like, while the Sons of, Sons of Light are the Earth, or the humans that still believe in magic, the Inferi, whatever, is like the elves that are still, like, worshipping magic, and they're dark magic. They're the ones trying to bring back the Dark Lord, and they've got to get so many, you know, wands to accomplish this. But, you know, Tika decided she doesn't want, you know, to serve evil, so she jacks the wand and takes off with it, and was helping the, you know, Sons were kind of guarding her until people showed up to get it.
Yeah, and that's about the only time that I remember, you know, Will Smith actually radioing for backup, is once they encounter the Bright and it's like, we've got a, you know, potential wand here or something, like...
Yeah, because they find the wand because it's all wrapped up. They, you know, don't realize that she's a Bright, because pretty much, you know, Brights are the only one that can control the wands. Anyone else touches it, they, you know, are immediately killed or whatnot.
they go into powder. You get head splody powers and
yeah, but in any you know, LA cop movie, you know, he calls, you know, calls it in, his sergeant and, you know, his other fellow officers show up, and, you know, while Nick's out guarding the suspect, you know, they're like, dude, this is like, you know,
we can have anything that we want. Like, yeah. This is where the...
This is like, in a typical cop movie, this is them finding the millions and millions of dollars of drug money. Yeah. But it's a wand, magic wand, that can grant millions and millions of dollars of drug money.
And anything that you want. And, you know, I mean, I thought that really set a cool precedent, because that's when you really see what, you know, human nature is all about. You know, when, you know, there's... this thing, and you can have anything that you want, and it's like, well, you know, us four are not going out the people that we, you know, came into the building as. And,
yeah, and they're like,
you know, Will's like, no, fuck this, you know.
Like, no, we need to turn this in, do the right thing, and they're like, hey, listen, either one cop can die tonight, or two cops can die tonight. You know, it's like, you know, you kill your partner, we'll say it was the gangsters that did it, and, you know, Will not tell anyone about the wand, and will, you know, become rich or whatnot. And he's fine, like, you know, fine. And as soon as he walks out the building, like, oh, two people are still dying tonight, but, yeah, let's let him off his partner, and then we'll kill him and keep the wand. And that's when he finally goes out there and, like, you know, gets in his face. He's like, fucking tell me, you let that suspect go. And he's like, yes, I did, but not for the reasons why you suspect. And he's like, I'm a rookie. I chased the wrong guy. I thought I had him. It turned out to be this tagger. He's like, but it wasn't him. He's like, well, I don't, like, smell, like, you know, we have
years of evolution, and you know.
But we still have, you know, heightened senses and whatnot, and it smelled different. This was not the guy. I knew all the backup are showing up to a potential cop killing, you know,
involving an orc, you know,
we all look the same. They're probably gonna light his ass up as soon as they get there, so I helped this kid escape, but he was not the guy who shot you. I did not let the person who tried to kill you escape, you know. He's like, and you know, and, you know, he pulls his gun and acts like, and then when they finally come out, he's like, all right, who's behind me? Tell me where they're at. And he's like, well, it's this person from your right to left. He's like, all right. And it spins around and, like, wastes the, like, bad cops.
Yeah, and, you know, then you see Jacoby, like, what the fuck, dude? like he tries to go ham.
And it's, yeah, like, he's like, you tries to arrest him. He's like, nah, dude, they wanted you dead. They wanted us both dead because they want to take the freaking wand. And then, of course, like, the human gangsters show up and, like, hey, brah, we heard y'all had a wand.
Yeah, and that was kind of, you know, that was interesting. So that's when we get, you know, introduced to the character of Poison, who is, like, you know, the Vato Loco of, you know, like, our, added, you know, basically the cartel.
The OG,
yeah.
He's, like, you know, in a wheelchair, because, I mean, I was like, how's the guy in the wheelchair the leader of the gang? I'm like, because he's, like, an OG. He probably got injured in some kind of gangland stuff, and... You know, he's like the guy they all respect, but yeah,
like,
and
like I was almost like, damn, I could almost be a Snoop Dogg character or Danny Trejo or something, like,
yeah. But then they get in this, like, car chase gunfight, and, like, you know, Will Smith is, like, shooting out the window and, like, doing all kind of crazy shit, and Jacoby's like, they didn't teach that shit in the academy.
It's like, you know, quick, get in the car, bulletproof glass, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, and it kind of, from there, it just like kind of turns into like, you know, into Watch, something where it's, you know, the entire city
three versus
after
the world.
Them. It's them trying to protect Tika and the wand, and but then you have the, you know, corrupt cops trying to hunt you down, or even the non-corrupt cops because they think you just murdered four officers. You've got the Mexican gangsters. You've got the orc gangsters eventually, and then you have the Inferni, the, you know,
and,
actual
and
owners of
the
wand after them.
I don't necessarily know that it was the internal affairs people, but you've got the other folks that are actually...
No, it was a... the FBI pretty much has a magical division. And it was... Edgar Ramirez played Candomir. He's a, you know, elvish federal agent with the U.S. Department of Magic's Tax Force. So him and his partner is...
Looking for the wands, and you know, like,
yeah, because they actually interviewed the guy that they
the
had
crazy
arrested.
Dude with the sword.
He was talking about prophecies and shit, and you know, when they finally get, but yeah, before they ever get to dealing with those guys, them trying to flee from the gang, because like I said, they kind of just run their car till the wheels fall off, running from the gangsters, and then decide to, you know, hide out in this strip club, which has elves and orc strippers too. But then the gangsters, like, you know, come in there and they're like, "Hey man, we will burn this place down, we all in it, and come get the wand out of the ashes, so you can just turn that shit over." Well, that's when the evil elves show up and start wasting everybody, and you know, they're able to slip out the back. But
that was like almost like some fucking like Matrix vampire shit too, like when they come in with the fucking blades and, you know, just the throat slicing and everything. I'm like, damn right.
Very much remind me of like the SWAT vampires from Blade 2. I mean, they just came and started fucking shit up. But yeah, they end up running into a house party club or whatever, because they're an orc gang, but they're kind of like neutral. They're called the Fog Teeth, and basically like they, you know, have like a house party where like humans, elves, orcs can all come and party with this, you know, annual party we do with there's no weapons. It's neutral. Our territory is neutral ground for whatever you want to do. But then they run in there with their guns, and the gangsters and the elves follow them in and cause like a huge like fight there in the middle of the orc club.
And, you know,
so
I thought that was
now the orcs are pursuing them, not for the wand, but they're just like, want revenge because you disrespected our house party.
And you know, that was kind of interesting. It's like, you know, everything's going great for hundreds and hundreds of years until you guys show up with guns.
Yeah.
You know, and then it goes to shit. Like,
but yeah, after that, they finally like decide to call their buddy
Rodriguez,
who was the sheriff deputy, and is like, we know we can trust him. He shows up and finally tells him like, hey, there's these magical task force guys around. Let's call them. They're the ones that handle this stuff and turn the wand and everything over to them. And they make the phone call, and you know, he's like, yeah, we'll take care of you for killing the bad cops, but you know, we need the magic. But then he
but I mean, I thought that, you know, standoff between Rodriguez and, you know, Will Smith, the, you know, Tika and, you know, Nick, and it's like, look, you know, there's dead cops, somebody's got to be in handcuffs when they get here and shit like that. So I thought that, you know, was kind of cool, because Rodriguez is like, you know, he's kind of on the fence about some shit.
Yeah, he's like, you know, we got to do this right. You know, like, I believe you, but I still got to put you in handcuffs until we get this, at least your partner, because, you know, we don't want him getting shot when everyone else shows up. But then, of course, the elves show up and it ends up killing him, and they're pinned down in a freaking gas station.
with handcuffs.
Yeah.
But Tika, with a save, remembers to grab the keys before they flee. It's like, good girl, Tika.
Yeah, because at this point she's just spoken
and, you know,
elvish.
What?
They don't really know what her deal is.
She actually turned out to kind of be a badass. Like, you know, that whole convenience store scene with, you know, the fucking elves bashing the car, and, you know, this fucking car driving through that's got, you know, Nick pinned against the wall and everything. But I guess, you know, he's a big orcish ass motherfucker.
He's big
so
as fuck, bro.
He can't
keep
be
running
crushed.
Him into the beer cooler.
It's like,
yeah, she finally starts kind of like going from being hysterical to like, you know, doing some fighting herself and getting the boys out of harm. But as soon as they escape from that, oh, here comes the Fog Teeth for their revenge. And and rolling in their freaking Escalades and shit. But it's kind of cool because they end up going back to their, taking them to their leader. And he's like, hey, like, y'all disrespecting my party, so y'all got to die. And we also heard you had a wand. And they're both like, oh, what are you talking about? We ain't got no wand. We got into some shit, but yeah, there's no magic here. And he's like, well, my son's gonna earn his teeth tonight by, you know, executing your guys. And he comes out, and it's the kid that Nick had rescued. And he's like, you know, tells his son to go home. He's like, you know, our honor code won't allow him. You saved his life, so he won't kill you. But unfortunately, somebody still got to die for this. And he ends up killing Nick.
And I'll say that, you know, like, watching this movie with Rachel, somebody that usually does not give a fuck about anything to do with orcs or fairies or anything fantasy, bawled her fucking eyes out when that happened. She's like, oh my god, it's so sad.
But yeah, and he's about to execute Will, but then Tika finally, like, you know, saw them willing to sacrifice themselves and not give up the wand. She breaks free, pulls out the wand, and resurrects Nick, and they're like, oh shit, this is prophecy.
The prophecy, you know, he has risen.
All the orcs start kind of bowing to them and, you know, let them on their way. And then she finally starts speaking English. She's like, well, I didn't trust you assholes before. Yeah. Like, four cops just tried to kill us. I'm like, took a minute to figure out if y'all were on my side or not. But, you know, I guess the path, because she is not an experienced bright. She's fairly new herself. So I guess the power of resurrecting him, you know, hurt her. So she's like, the only way for me to
live,
to heal me, is you got to take me back to where all this started, and there's a magical pool under that safe house that you can, you know, put me in and heal me.
And I thought that was, you know, kind of interesting, you know, Nick and, you know, Will essentially battling it out. You know, like, we're taking her to a fucking hospital, they'll know what to do, and then we're going the fuck somewhere else. Like, and it's like, no, you know, she saved me, we're doing this her way, you know, so...
Yeah, he finally, like, grows his balls, and he's like, you know, nah, yeah, like, I may be the rookie, but no, this ain't gonna happen. And they, you know, get back to the house, and of course the evil elves finally show up to get their wand back, and a fight ensues. But, you know, Tika is still kind of injured, she gets her ass kicked, fucking, you know, Nick's getting thrown around, Will's getting beat up, and... Earlier on, one of the gangsters tried to pick up the wand, and the whole bright thing happened, and he exploded, or they all exploded, and he's like, there's like, where'd they go?
I think we're breathing them.
Just basically turned. So Will's like, fuck it, I'm probably going to die anyway. I'm going to grab the wand and cause an explosion to stop these people. But he grabs the wand, and like, you know, the crazy man had said earlier, you know, he's blessed. It turns out he's a bright and doesn't know it. So he picks up the wand, and not only does it explode, he's like, fuck, it's working. He zaps the bitch and, like, blows up the house.
Well, so it's kind of funny, you know, because he's like, all right, I got the fucking wand. I'm not dead. What the hell do I do with it? You know, and Tika's like, the word is, you know, and I forgot what she says. But,
yeah,
you know,
she's like, how do you turn this on? She's like, the word you're looking for is whatever. And he's like, you know, like, you know, freaking Harry Potter Expelliarmus or whatever, and blows up the house and takes out the evil elves. But the house is all blown up. It's on fire. Freaking, you know, Nick kind of finds his way out in the explosion and gets outside, and the feds and the firemen and everybody else is showed up by now, and he's like, where's Nick? And they're like, we haven't seen him. So he runs back into the flaming house and pulls Will out to the yard, and, you know, he's like, you know, talk to me, you partner, you know, you're trying to, and finally he kind of points, and he looks over, and there's, like, the
all
fog
the
teeth had
gangster,
followed him,
yeah,
and they, you know, had seen him saving Will, so they, you know, cut their hands and, like, raised them in his honor, and signifying that we've witnessed a great deed.
We
were now
blooded. Yep.
You're full on. Or, and it was like, so you think you're a badass now that you're all blooded and shit, huh? And he's like, yeah, kind of.
It's kind of a big deal. Like, I was expecting him, like, you know, to, like, actually show, like, the teeth growing or something, but
I guess he doesn't have to file. Well, doesn't have to file them anymore, but they're not, you know, magically grown. But then, like, you know, once the feds get there, they recover the wand and stuff, and then Will wakes up in some kind of isolation, you know, federal prison hospital or something.
Sanitarium.
Yeah. And he's like, And he wakes up and he's tied to the bed. He's like, why am I handcuffed to the bed and you're not? He's like, they think you're more dangerous. He's like, yeah, you're probably right. but I love it. It's like when the feds come in, it's like typical veteran cop versus rookie cop.
Yeah, the rookie's just fucking spilling everything.
He's like, there was a wand and an elf and we did this. You know, he killed us. They were going to kill us. And he's like, would you shut up? Let them ask questions. And he's like, I don't know what he's talking about. We just showed up to a regular domestic call. Nothing. We don't know nothing about no magic. There was some crazy guys there tried to kill us. Why not? You know, it's and he's just like freaking saying like everything that has happened. And he's like just trying to like, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. None of this stuff. Goes, would you shut up and let them ask a question? Stop volunteering information. Ask for a lawyer or something. Damn.
Like, I almost see like that, like being the interrogation of like a first time offender or some shit like that. Like, I don't know how this shit goes down, so I'm just gonna spill fucking everything because I don't know.
But yeah, and you know they kind of agree like, hey, y'all don't tell anybody about the whole magic stuff, and we got you. So you know, at the end, not only is he blooded, but him and Will are getting awards, and they're saying basically that it was the Infari are not evil elves. It was like a terrorist group, and these officers stopped them, and you know these other officers were killed in the line of duty, and
Will Smith, you know, being like, I don't, you know, these motherfuckers behind us don't deserve to be here, and you know,
yeah, because they had like pictures of all the other officers, including was it Ramirez or Diaz? And he's like, yeah, Rodriguez, played by Jay Hernandez. And they're like, yeah, he doesn't, you know, these other motherfuckers don't deserve to be up here on the, like, you know, being honored with Rodriguez. And, you know, Jacoby's like, hey, we know, that's enough. Like, we know he was a hero. You know, fuck the other guys. You know, it's, you know, as long as we know he was a hero, that's good enough, you know. Because Tika disappeared during the whole explosion thing. And they happen to see her, like, you know, sneaking kinda, around the crowd. And he's like, all right, cool. Our homegirl survived. and kind of smiles. But then, you know, like I said, it's been getting, like we said before, bad reviews from critics. Because I think they're, like, scared of the film. But it's become one of Netflix's most watched shows. I mean, it's Netflix never kind of really releases their numbers or money and stuff like that. But it's supposedly, like, one of the most streamed new shows, new movies in Netflix here history.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. At the end of the day, I kind of feel like, you know, critics, you know, especially the big Hollywood critics, kind of just suck in general anyway. Like, you know, in my opinion, they're, you know, almost like the, you know, movie version of the ESRB, right? As long as, you know, oh, I'm going to sit here and I got to weigh my influence and everything. What the fuck does your influence matter? Like, you know, I view that shit and I'm like, and who the fuck are you? The same person that's going to give the same rehashed ID, you know, movie or whatever, a 9 out of 10, but the first time something original and authentic comes around, you're going to shit all over it because it threatens, you know, what? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, because I mean, it's gotten great reviews from, you know, real people, but critics saying it's one of the worst movies of 2017. I'm like, no way. I mean, it's in a land of reboots and remakes, it's an original idea, and it's, like I said, something so different that it almost needs its own category to describe it, because it's so, like I said, Training Day meets Lord of the Rings. And it was also, if you look at the, like, production of it, too, it was kind of, you know, pretty, you know, quick turnaround for for a movie. So it's kind of like what you can do when you don't have to deal with the typical studio system.
Yep. And, I don't know. I mean, you know, in my opinion, I view a lot of Hollywood the same way that I view politics, right? You get a lot of the bureaucracy and, you know, all of the bullshit out of the way, and all of a sudden people can get stuff done. But, you know, we tend to, you know, clutter shit, or, you know, I guess my other, you know, problem with Hollywood is, you know, so many of these big name actors come out with their fucking political view, like, you know, it fucking matters in the grand scheme of things, and it's like, make movies, entertain me as an entertainer, like, you know, don't preach your fucking philosophies and all this other shit, like, entertain.
I just saw the the actor that played Candemir's human partner, Hildebrandt Ulysses Montague. His real name is Happy Anderson. What a great name.
So, you know, I didn't put this in the nerd news, but, you know, Netflix has already confirmed that there is going to be a sequel to Bright. What do you think the sequel has in store? You know, do you think that, you know, does it become more of the, you know, buddy cop film at that point? Now that you think, you know, Will and Jacoby have been able to get the past beside us, they've been through some shit, so they bonded, and, you know, there's
next
that
time around
there,
they've ranked up their detectives now, and it's like Bad Boys, Lord of the Rings.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of expecting to see, you know, when we see Jacoby again, you know, with the big, you know, teeth and everything, you know, or, you know, does it turn into a John Wick and, you know, somebody fucking captures Tika and it's like, you've taken something I love, so I will find you and I will kill you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they take it down some other magical problem or continue with the problem that they have, because the things they talk about in the prophecy and the things that the Inferni are trying to do is they're trying to raise whatever the Dark Lord, the original, like, the Voldemort or the, who's
Sauron.
The guy from, Lord, yeah, from, you know, Lord of the Rings. He was, like, the guy, you know, 2,000 years ago who was, you know, trying to destroy the world. They're trying to resurrect him, and it takes three wands to do it. So maybe the next movie, you know, they get their three wands, and the Dark Lord rises, and it's up to freaking Jacoby and Ward.
Yeah, because I think I remember, you know, seeing that they're not going to use the same writer for the next one. Or,
yeah, I've not seen anything on, like, the sequel or anything yet.
Let's see.
But, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, there's no, I didn't see any, other than the announcement that it's coming back. Here we go. Yeah, they've, Air is still directing, and apparently he's going to be writing as well. Which, I mean, even if, you know, without Max Landis, you're friggin', like I
yeah,
said,
so
Air,
Max Landis
wrote,
won't be back for the film, is
yeah,
what.
He's, Air is directing and writing, but he, like I said, he wrote Training Day, he wrote End of Watch. You know, he's not just a director, he's a pretty accomplished writer on his in his own right, so if anybody can give us a cool sequel, and it's probably going to be
yeah
him.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Something
yeah.
I hate when, like, you know, one guy does one movie and the sequel's done by somebody completely different, and it just absolutely changes the tone of the films. Like, if you look at Iron Man, you know, the first two done by and then the you know, third one done by a different guy, friggin' it looks
I so thought you were going to talk
so
about
different.
The Last Jedi there.
That too, I mean, last the friggin' Episode 7 done by JJ, you know, a different guy doing the second one, and it's in this case, better film. Than may totally change.
Oh
the
my
tone
god!
It was
oh my god! The world
than,
just imploded. What? That's been a. I'm so glad that we stayed away from getting into that shit show. Like,
oh yeah, 8 was so much better than 7. It's, but it's also kind of reminiscent of, you know, Alien Nation and stuff like that. You know, where it's, you know, a different kind of race of people than that, because yeah, Alien Nation, if anyone doesn't remember that old movie, it was a cop where his partner was an alien. I mean, it's kind of the same, you know, or at least similar dynamic as this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, for folks that have not seen Bright, sucks that, you know, you pretty much heard the entire synopsis at this point, but I mean, it's a movie that I encourage folks to go out and check out and see. Like, I mean, I gotta say, like, I was so pleasantly surprised. Like, I mean, it put a lot of shit on the map, and, you know, kind of, hey, there's a new direction, and it's not the same, you know,
yeah, it's
same old that we've been getting, you know, for so long out of the typical Hollywood crowd.
Yeah, in the world of reboots, it's, you know, finally an original film.
And I was kind of surprised too, you know, like, You know, I know you're not a fan of Lord of the Rings. You know, you have a hard time getting into a lot of this elf and mystery shit.
Yeah, because I'm a sci-fi nerd, but yeah, I never really give a shit about elves and orcs and stuff like that. But I'm also a huge, like, cop movie, action movie fan, and I'm just like, you know, I will give the orcs and elves a shot, because this looks like a regular L.A. cop movie. Die hard with an elf, you know?
You seen fucking Nefari fall off Nakatomi Tower?
The damn fairies.
Oh, shit. I do have to say that, you know, probably the fairies were... I mean, that was the other thing. For as much serious stuff, like, the comic relief was, you know, welcome, and, you know, it didn't take away or, you know, detract from the film. You know, and I kind of like the, you know, the Will Smith family dynamic thing, too. You know, we didn't really touch on that, where, you know, basically it's, you know... calling his wife saying, get the fuck out of town, like, go now.
Like, yeah, once, like, the gangs are after him and the corrupt cops are after him, he, you know, calls his wife and is like, get the kid, get the fuck out of town. And she's like, what's going on? He's like, just go. Like, yeah, I'll explain. And to her credit, like, his wife's like, all right, yeah, that's...
Yep, leaves her friends at the bar and, you know she
takes off.
So I'm kind of curious, you know, does, you know, the sequel, does something happen where... somehow they get a hold of the wife and kid.
Yeah, or we get to finally see them track down hit, because, you know, they never caught the crazy guy who shot Will, so maybe they they track down the guy who shot him or whatnot. I mean, there's so many.
Or maybe now that the cop's been blooded, it's like, oh shit, it's the Brotherhood. I got to turn myself in.
Sorry, man. I got to leave. I got to join my clan now that I've.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could almost see Will Smith becoming the new captain, you know, and taking on a leadership role. But
at least the new sergeant, because the sergeant kind of got wasted.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not captain, but sergeant, yeah. So, I don't know.
Like I said, I want to see them become detectives, and, like, the next one, it's, like, Bad Boys.
But I don't think you would like it as much, because then you would be like, oh, I'm anticipating Bad Boys, and I'm sorry, like, that film's on a pedestal of its own. Like, if you try to redo that...
Shit just got real, Nick. I bring in Martin Lawrence. So as we kind of wrap this up, any particular favorite moments or thoughts about this film?
I think for me, you know, that it's got to be there toward the ending, you know, when, you know, Nick fucking runs back into the burning building and hightails it, and, you know, he comes out with Will, and, you know, there's the orc brother, and they do the bloodletting. I mean, that was, you know, that was pretty cool. I will say that maybe the other part was when they initially, after their first shootout, and they go into the building and encounter the bright, the fucking, you know, lady that's, like, into the wall with all the veins and shit like that.
Cool
was
effect.
Probably one of the coolest effects that, I mean, and, you know, that was the other thing, is all of the special effects and everything, fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. And, like, while
I don't remember any, you know, fake, you know, we're trying to CG out mustaches or anything.
Yeah.
yeah,
and, like, the comedy, like, I expected more comedy being Will Smith and what little we saw in the trailer. But, it, you know, it was, like I said, more of a serious cop drama. But when the comedy elements were there, it was great, like, stress relievers and funny. Especially, like, toward the first, like, when they're... You know, he's driving him to work his first day back after being shot, and they're kind of giving each other shit. It's almost like a kind of a buddy cop thing. And he's like, are you getting enough, you know, whatever? And he's like, you've got that face. He's like, what? He's like, humans, they all have a tail. Your face is revealing thing. Like, this is the face you're making now. It's the I'm not getting enough at home or something like that face. He's like, oh yeah, well, what's the you know,
what's the shut the fuck up?
Or no, he's like, what's the I'm, you know, annoyed with my partner talking too much shit. And he's like, oh, that's this face. He's like, well, show me your shut the fuck up and drive me to work face. And he's like, yeah, that's the face. You do that. Do that all the time.
So, yeah. So, you know, what was probably your favorite highlight?
I think the first gunfight where he's like, how do you make a gunfight awkward? But like, you know, when you know they're, you know, caught by the orcs and are about to be shot, and you know he's like resurrected and whatnot, and like from there on, you know, there's kind of like, we're stuck in this thing together, but you're not my friend, you're not my partner. But by the end of it, they were, you know, had to gain trust to one another. And he's like, you know, this guy I wanted out of my car the whole time is like, you know,
at the end of the day, the one person I could count on most.
Yeah, he may still not be my friend, but he's my partner. I trust him now. He's, you know, he's no longer an orc. He's a cop like the rest of us. I thought that was kind of a cool dynamic. And the fact that, you know, Will finds out he's possibly also a Bright, that's something else that may come into play in the next movie. See him dig more into his potential magical side and, you know, do some.
I almost wonder
if he
like teams up with, you know, the people that were hunting the wands and all of that stuff, you know, knowing that
by the next time they're fucking friends
and I mean,
themselves.
You know, as of right now, you know, he's not trained. So it's not like he's, you know, a threat, because he's not going to know what the fuck to do with the power. So, yeah. I don't know, unless he ends up on an island secluded all by himself, you know, teaching himself the ways of the Bright instead of the Jedi.
So what's your final thoughts on this here Wicked Winter?
It is a blast of warmth and, you know, just what the Doctor ordered on a cold day.
Yeah, it's... And the strength of it seems to pick up a little toward the end.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm noticing that.
It definitely started off like medium plus, but it's almost like finishing at a, you know, a full strength cigar toward the end. Yeah, like I said, they're like I said, these things came out 3 years ago, so if you can find them, you know, pick some up. There's still a few here and there. Yeah, like I said, we got these at our, you know, the cigar shop incoming. They still had some these in the like couple boxes of the Rabid Reindeers left, so yeah.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
in the area, pick a couple up.
Really digging it, really enjoying it. You know, that's the thing, man. Like when it comes to CAO and like, you know, some of the Christmas releases, I am not, you know, been willing to tuck my balls and try the pumpkin spice cigar. It's just not my forte. But
yeah, that one's one of the CAO flavored cigars, and I'm like, yeah, I can't. Can't bring myself to try.
I'm gonna have to revoke my own man card if went down that path.
Yeah, there was, I think the Bad Santa, the Angry Snowman, the Wicked. There's the Nutcracker, which is based off of CAO Gold. There's the Stingy Scrooge, the Wicked Winter. Like I said, the Reindeer is probably one of my favorites. But then they also had some for a couple like 4th of July, like, you know, Uncle Sam cigars too. So. Yeah, if you can still find them anywhere, check them out. I wish CAO would bring back the holiday releases. Cause
yes.
They were actually just like, because most of them were based on original blends with just a little bit of tweaking. So
I know like the Reindeer that we've talked about is the MX2 with some added Lajero. So, you know, it's just got that little extra umph to it. And
yes, they're just their standard cigars with a fancy artsy label on it. No, they actually tweaked the blend a little and gave them some kind of... And the box artwork, too, is awesome on these cigars. Well, with that, we will crack open a beer. Danger, danger, I don't fit in, I'm a stranger. Believer, believer, I can take out all the evil. Empowerment to all my people, I can prove to you I'm a leader. Run through the money, no visa, forgive me cause my life illegal. Searching for the bag and the prize. Hey. On a mission looking for them bad guys. Can't run no player, but my head, I'm real wise. Look at his eyes, why I think he traumatized. Take me as a joke, I'ma hang him on the rope. Cause where I'm from, we don't play like that on outside. No. Better not free, cause we know you gon' choke. Talk behind my back, but your shots backfire. I know you tried, but you never could survive. I see the fear that's in your eyes. Run like Ford, they're trying to hide. They criticize in the skies. They know I can only tell the truth. Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time for a beer. So what are we drinking this week, Brad?
Well, we've got a special treat, something I hadn't seen around in this area, and I'm excited to announce that we are drinking the Nitro Red Velvet from Ballast Point. And, you know, this is very... I see a lot of Ballast Point, but it's always like the Sculpin, or it's more the IPAs and just the L's. And, you know, what we stumbled across this time is actually the Red Velvet. It's an oatmeal stout.
But it's a golden oatmeal stout, so it's,
got the golden... well, I mean, it's velvet, so it pours red. Like,
yeah, it's a golden oatmeal stout with beets, chocolate, and natural flavors added. Which sounds like an odd combination.
Oh my God, it's mind-blowingly good.
Oh, yeah, and it's it being a nitro beer, you can't pour it like a normal beer. You have to just turn the bottle up and pour it hard if you're going to get a decent head on it.
And, I mean, literally, if you look at the back of the bottle, it shows turning the bottle upside down and, pour with a purpose.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that they, And this is also, sometimes your stouts you want to serve a little warmer. This one says, keep cold. So it's kind of cool that, when a company offers that kind of, information on your beer, so you get the most, the desired experience. And the artwork on the bottle is amazing.
Yes. So, I that was the thing that probably, struck me the most, was just seeing, a snippet of the artwork, like, okay, that's just cool, but... actually getting it in a glass. I mean, the fact that it's on nitro, too. I mean, it's just so creamy and, very smooth. And this is kind of weird. Like, this is getting into almost that dessert beer, but not being so sweet that, it's overpowering. I mean, it's truly, satisfying. And, I'm absolutely... enjoying the hell out of this. This just really opened my... I've always heard really good things about Ballast Point when I was working with people out in California. And, a lot of the selection here in Georgia, anyway, has always been kind of limited. So, really cool to find this. And now I'm starting to see why I was getting such rave reviews from, people that were actually touring and had been to the brewery.
Yeah, if you smell it, it kind of smells like red velvet cake, too. But, it's so weird. It's like the creamy, with the, the traditional stout chocolatey flavors, but with, with a little bit more sweetness to it. It's not like the coffee chocolate, bitter chocolate you get with some stouts. It's sweet, but then it kind of finishes a little bit hoppy, like a beer. It's not like you're drinking a freaking milkshake. You're hit with that chocolatey sweetness, and then it's like, oh, here's the hop on the back end.
And, I kind of like it, too. Shout out to Ballast Point for actually keeping an updated website with good content. But one of the food pairings that they recommend with this is Chipotle barbecue sauce with baby back ribs, and as somebody
also rhubarb pie and strawberry ice cream.
Yeah. So I mean, for somebody that enjoys the hell out of smoking and barbecuing, I am like, I now know what I'm going to pair the next time I decide to do some ribs.
Yes. 5.5% alcohol, 35 IBUs. This is a damn good beer.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's bringing a little tear to my eye.
So, what's your rating on this here beer?
I five.
Yeah,
I can't not.
Oh, yeah, this would be a great after dinner beer. This is damn good. So with that, it's time for some science. Yeah.
Yeah, science.
And it's time for some science. Normally we have a few articles that we're like, we're not going to say it's aliens, but it's probably aliens.
As you can tell from the sound coming from my laptop, definitely aliens.
Yeah, so this is not one of our weird news articles. This actually comes from the New York Times and CNN.
Okay, so it's a weird news article.
But it's from a legitimate news source.
Are they? I keep hearing fake news.
Well, a former Pentagon official recently revealed that the government has a basically a UFO research program. It's called the
Area 51
Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, where they were legitimately tasked with all these different, you know, UFO sightings and whatnot. The Pentagon was investigating them to determine whether or not, you know, they were any kind of actual threat. I mean, it had a $22 million budget and, you know, had an office within, like, the C-ring of the Pentagon. So this was, like, a real program searching for, you know, potential aliens.
We're not saying it's aliens, but it's probably aliens.
Yeah, a direct quote from the director of this program, which was supposedly defunded in 2012, but he says it's still kind of actively ongoing, or at least the people that used to do it are still doing it in, you know, connection with their regular Pentagon duties. But Luis Elizondo, who recently kind of retired or left the program, spoke with CNN and the New York Times, and he said, "It's my personal belief is that there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone."
I mean, I almost feel like it's naive to think. I mean, there's so much out there that we haven't explored that...
And there's so many, like, sightings every year that, you know... That, yeah, like, I mean, several thousand sightings. I mean, there can't be that, well, there's probably that many crackpots, but they can't be all, like, fake. And even with this release of this program actually existing, they also released some videos of captured in 2004 from San Diego, where military aviators pursued an object that they could not identify. They said it looked like a
fly on a windshield.
A large tic-tac-like object. A tic-tac-shaped object. But, you know, as you're saying, it was making...
A fly on a windshield.
But making maneuvers that, you know, our current technology and the technology of our other, you know, enemies and allies could not match the maneuverability of this object that flew rings around a couple, you know, freaking F-18s or whatever they were flying that day. So it's like, you know, the government's actually kind of like, you know, releasing this. It's not, you know, super secret MIB shit anymore. They're like, yeah, here's a video. We don't know what the fuck this is. We're not saying it's aliens, but we don't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah, I mean, that fits the definition of a UFO. I mean, it's an unidentified flying object. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's aliens, but... Could be aliens.
Yeah, he and one of the reasons why Alonzo Elizondo left is he says basically we found a lot is another direct quote for him. But he kind of got fed up with, like I said, it was the program was defunded, but then also, you know, they wouldn't flat out say, hey, we found aliens. He kind of got tired of the secrecy of the program when he brought some of this stuff to light. And you know, he said the things from the 2004 video says that they're, you know, which you would not call aliens, but anomalous aircraft is the word to use, seemingly defy the laws of aerodynamics. So, I mean, it could be some kind of weird test craft, but, you know, military chasing freaking UFOs, it's like the first, like, legitimate, like, core, you know, because they also, you know, in this article,
it's
they
almost
interviewed...
almost like when, you know, you're talking about ghost hunting and you get, you know, something that, you know, is actually on official record and it's like...
Yeah. Really? Actual scientists going, yeah, this thing happened. We don't know what it is, but it happened. And they even, in this article, spoke with the pilots and the officers that were on duty that day, described this thing. So it's not like, you know, typical rumor and whatnot. We've got, you know, actual military pilots on record saying, yes, this incident happened. We don't know what the fuck it was, but here it is. So it's kind of cool that, you know, after decades of secrecy, the government's starting to kind of like... Yeah, there's something out there. We don't know what it is, but there are definitely documented cases of weird shit afoot.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. Or is it, hey, we're going to release this thing to distract you from this other thing?
Speaking of space, you know, there are a lot of cool space stuff happening here in 2018. I mean, we spoke with the JPL Mars people at Dragon Con, but there's a lot of stuff kicking off off this year, and we've got kind of a highlight list of new space things coming up here in January. We've talked about the SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket, which is going to be the thing that you know gets us to Mars and you know is able to lift stuff to eventually colonize or whatnot. So its inaugural spaceflight is this month, and the first thing that they're taking to space is they're delivering Elon Musk's Tesla to Mars orbit. You know, this is kind of him saying that, like, test our new rocket, it's going to drop my car off on Mars, that way when I eventually colonize this bitch, I've already got my car there. So it's kind of a cool publicity stunt, but also it's like, you know, if you're testing a heavy transport rocket, you got to give it something heavy to transport to get a good, yeah, so instead of just random cargo things, like, let's throw a Tesla into orbit.
Is it wise to have a go-kart in space?
Hey, man, it's you know, you might have to put some solar generators up there.
I mean, I've seen some shenanigans that, you know, some of the astronauts can pull and whatnot, so, I mean, give them toys, they will play.
In February.
Why is there a big penis on my car?
Yeah, in February, Russia is planning to send the Progress cargo spacecraft to the International Space Station in just 3 hours. It's going to be the shortest flight or the quickest refueling time of anything ever sent to ISS. So it's a new, you know, cargo spacecraft that's going to make that trip up. And that's kind of the key to either colonization or like space station, what is being able to get resupplies quicker. You know, it's making it cheaper and faster is going to
it's like, hey, we need this thing quicker. All right, well, it's going to take us like approximately 10 years to get it to you, like.
Also, and then in March we have the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite is expected to launch, and it's NASA's latest like planet hunting thing, and they're expecting to find more than 3,000 planets outside our own solar system, including Earth-sized worlds. So as we've talked to, you know, the hunt of extraterrestrial, the more planets we find, the more likely we are to find something that's Earth-like that, you know, we may be able to get to. And also, you know, we've talked about some of SpaceX, you know, a lot of their shit's, you know, drone-like, whatever, but they're also going to be testing they call the Crew Dragon spacecraft later this year, where it's first unmanned test flight in April with, you know, its first crewed flight being planned for later this year. So, and, you know, I think in May, the InSight lander is finally heading to Mars, which, you know, it was supposed to launch last year, but was delayed because of weather. And that's going to study Martian's interior using, like, seismology, trying to figure out what's the planet's made of, and more geological studies in this one. Yeah, and that's just, like, the first, you know, 5 months of the year. There's, like I said, there is a ton of cool space stuff planned throughout 2018, so, you know, have plenty of stuff to talk about in science for the rest of the year.
There you go. So no more articles for a year, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Or just each month, I got at least one freaking space thing to talk about, according to. So another little item we have here is poop lights. It's street lights powered by dog shit. I know anytime you've watched your dog in the park, you see the little, like, you know, please scoop your poop baggy dispensers around the park. Well, in the Pacific Street Park in Cambridge, Massachusetts, they have started a program called Park Spark. And basically, it's a they create electricity from dog poop. They have a place to deposit your dog's droppings and free biodegradable bags, and they have street lights in the park that are powered by this, you know, the biodegrading and creating methane from the dog poop. And it's like basically looks like this big two tank thing where you drop it in there, you spin the wheel, and it drops it into a tank where, you know, it's mixed up, turns to methane, which is burned for energy. And they say 10 bags of dog shit can power a street light for 2 hours. But they also, part of this program is they have, and there's other parks like, that are starting similar programs, but they also have, like, you know, can basically run anything off this electricity. So they have, like, a place, hell, you can plug, stop, and, like, charge your phone while you're in the park, you know, off your dog's dumping. And, you know, the guy demonstrating it was even, you know, fired up an electric burner and made a tea, you know, heating his kettle water on this poop-powered stove. So it's kind of an interesting way to...
This tea tastes like shit.
But it's kind of an interesting way to, you know, take care of one problem of, you know, waste in a park, and also demonstrate that, you know, we could be recycling this stuff better and creating electricity and whatnot from, you know, stuff that would otherwise cause a shitty situation.
Word. That's, yeah, definitely unique. I mean, you know, I couldn't see that, you know, being used on a large scale per se. I mean, I
don't know. I need one of these for the house, and much of my dog poops. I mean, we could probably cut the electricity bill by half.
For a few hours anyway. Maybe power the beer fridge.
That's how I powered the PlayStation. The shed life's powered by dog poop.
It's not your Wi-Fi that's shitty, man.
And you know, within the, you know, next, as I think as this episode goes up, the annual CES Expo in Vegas kicks off with all kind of new technology, so I'm assuming by next episode we'll have some cool new technology that has been released to talk about. But one of them that's kind of gotten an early preview, Nissan has unveiled its brain-to-vehicle technology. And basically, like, with, you know, cars going all self-driving and stuff lately, this is something that actually they're connecting the driver's thoughts to the car, and the car is able to kind of predict how the driver will react and actually assisting making reaction times and stuff quicker, because it knows you're about to hit the brake, so it's going to already start that process. Because anyone who's had someone pull out in front of them in traffic knows, like, you get that initial, like, oh shit, and it takes a minute for your brain to connect to your foot and slam on the gas. So this is going to, you know, make vehicles safer and also make them more fun to drive, because it's, like I said, it's going to be able to, it's, your brain's not driving the car, but it's going to be able to predict your reactions, they say, up to a half second quicker than it would normally, waiting on the human driver to, you know, apply input to the vehicle.
And, you know, that may be enough time to avoid some accidents too. You know, maybe, you know, that quicker response coming from you gives that person the added time they need to, you know, either get out of the way or whatever.
Yeah, the technology uses EEG to measure, you know, electrical patterns in the brain via a headset. But, you know, there's like, you know, automatic braking and automatic, you know, speed control and stuff like that. It's currently based off, like, camera input, but, you know, it's not going to help with your steering and all that other stuff. But, you know, this is something that's going to be probably a little bit more, because instead of you're relying on a camera and a computer, it's coming straight from, you know, someone's brain.
I'm going to take up drag racing. It knows I'm about to stomp on the accelerator, so it can give me that, you know, half-second jump. That's all I need to get ahead.
If it can, like, honk the horn and flip somebody off without me having to, you know, do it, I mean, hey, it's all good.
Well, you know, I was reading a thing.
The car's going to, like, automatically pull over at the cigar shop, or it's like, you feel hungry, we're going to go through a drive-thru now.
Damn it. I did see a couple of months ago talking about Nissan as they were releasing a new engine that is actually, you know, powered by compressed air. And, you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they say we're still a couple of years off for having, like, you know, an actual production model, but this is definitely a cool kind of start in that direction. And with that, we'll be right back.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, who's interrupting my intro?
Is this a joke?
This is no joke, kid. This is the Earth Station DCU podcast.
No clothes from anybody. Sickening.
We're not that kind of podcast, kid. We talk DC news, comics, movies, and television.
You gotta do better than that.
We reviewed Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow every week.
That a fact. How much do I owe you?
You don't owe us anything. The podcast is free.
Oh, I just heard this story in the cab, and it is all I can think about.
We are part of the ESO Network.
This is amazing.
Why, thank you. And join us every week for another edition of the Earth Station DCU. Now, can we get back to the show, please?
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News. So,
news.
Up now, we're going to get a little zany. Zany to the max, even. Apparently, there's a revival of Animaniacs coming to Hulu in 2020.
Hails yeah.
Yep, and it looks like Steven Spielberg will be returning as executive producer along with Warner Bros. And, so we talked about some original, you know, stuff that Netflix did during the main segment with Bright. Kind of cool to see, you know, Animaniacs and, you know, some of the stuff like, you know, back at Dragon Con this past year, getting to, you know, watch Rob Paulsen do some of his stuff, you know, that he did on the Animaniacs with, you know, the history song and everything else. It would be cool to see these guys come back.
Hell yeah, that's, you know,
kids these days don't have good, you know, cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, it's my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that they're trying to dumb down the next generation to make them more controllable by making children's programming way dumber than they used to be. I mean, this is a freaking show that, hell, I used to watch in high school. I mean, it was...
yeah.
It was a freaking good-ass show.
I mean, I can remember taking geography classes and stuff like that, and, you know, Wacko's World was, you know, one of the songs that, you know, would come up during class and stuff. So, I mean...
And just all the little kind of adult humor, too, that kids didn't get at the time. Like the, hey, fingerprints. Ew, no.
hello, nurse.
yeah.
But apparently, Hulu is also, for the original Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, and Tiny Toons, you can actually check those out right now. So they've made the originals available to stream. So, I mean, I remember having to wake up at the butt crack of dawn on a Saturday morning to get my cartoon fix, you know. Yay for the internet.
Animaniacs.
So,
there's baloney in our slacks. Sorry.
That's okay. So, I don't know. You know, it doesn't make mention, but I wonder if, you know, Paulsen would do anything with the new stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, he still got it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as of September of, you know, 2017, he still had it. I don't see that changing, so.
Yeah.
Remember a few years ago, there was a thing going around, you know, based on video game and the whole Slender Man craze?
Yeah, the weird,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's getting a movie.
Really?
And there's a trailer. You know, so apparently Sony has released a trailer for the upcoming horror film. You know, so, yeah. Yay for Creepypasta Man.
Are we going to get a Flying Spaghetti Monster movie?
I mean, we could. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I don't. You know, there is quite a bit of controversy surrounding this film, though, because, I mean, there were some legit, you know, people doing stupid shit to, you know, essentially try to appease or impress this fictional character. Almost much like, and I didn't put this in the show notes, so, you know, random rambling. Here we go, right off the cuff. These fucking Call of Duty assholes nowadays fucking swatting people. I don't know if anybody heard about this latest incident where, you know, basically, you know, this guy was, you know, talking shit on Call of Duty and, you know, then later on went on YouTube bragging about how he swatted somebody. Yeah, gave the wrong address, and unfortunately, innocent person ends up getting gunned down. You know,
fucking idiots.
Yeah, so, you know, and in my head, I'm like, fucking 12 and 13-year-olds. Nope, turns out the guy's 25 years old.
It's pretty much the same as a 13-year-old nowadays. Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? Moving right along before I go
on. Yeah, because not only do you get innocent people hurt, you take cops away from, like, you know,
actual
doing something that they, you know, are supposed to be doing. You know, fighting real crimes and shit. Fucking annoying.
Yep, absolutely. Spider-Man Homecoming. Looks like production is set to start in June for the sequel.
Is this one Spider-Man Prom?
Spider-Man
Homecoming is the next one titled Spider-Man Prom.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. I mean, it's set to premiere as of right now in summer of 2019. But, I got to say that Spider-Man Homecoming was refreshing. You know, it was the Amazing Spider-Man directly from the animation, I felt like. And for once, we finally just didn't get emo, you know.
Freaking, emo man.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. So, I don't know. You know, Jodie Foster may have other opinions because she claims superhero blockbusters are ruining movie going for some reason.
Shit, not for me. That's about the only movies I actually go see in the theater. Well, like I said, that's one thing I got to see on a big screen.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't agree with her, you know. And how she's, you know, these have, you know, transformed films into theme parks and, you know, Hollywood studios are making bad content in order to appeal to the masses and rake in money. I'm sorry, but as any type of movie producer, Jodie Foster, you're 1-2. Don't you want to appeal to the masses and make money? Isn't that the name of the game? Now, the fact is, you may not be making quality content the folks actually want to see, but... You know, I mean, that just means you're a shitty producer. Not the fact that other films are more successful or bringing in more money.
Yeah.
Just my two cents.
I mean, there's always a market for your arty freaking independent films, and there's a market for your mass budget popcorn flicks. I mean, in a world where the streaming services are picking up traction, you know, that may be where independent film goes. But you still, like I said, superhero films have... Or at least Marvel superhero films have been quite successful, and you can't deny that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, she's on record stating, I don't want to make $200 million movies about superheroes. But then later
on... Don't!
but later on, she, you know, says, I have no plans to hop on the superhero train anytime soon, but I might be interested in making a film about a superhero if, and only if, they had a really complex psychology.
Which is a lot of superheroes.
So it's pretty much, you know, hey, Jodie Foster, you're not what people are looking for, so shut the fuck up. You know, this kind of goes back to my earlier point during the main segment that make your films, do what you're going to do, but, you know, at the same time, don't fucking voice your opinion. I don't want your opinion. Either make quality content that I might be interested in, or make content that some folks are going to be interested in, but at the end of the day, shut up with your views. Nobody gives a fuck.
Damn Hollywood critics.
Yep. So, post-Disney Network, you know, for Fox, what does that look like? Well, apparently, we know it's going to be under a new name. New Fox.
New Fox.
Very original.
It's like New Coke.
Now with less actual Coke.
Yeah, because they didn't buy all of Fox. They, I believe they didn't. They didn't buy the Fox News, and I can't remember if they bought Fox Sports as well. But
it's basically going to have Fox News Channel, and you know the other assets will be spun off. You know, with the new company under a new name. It looks like what Disney acquired was 21st Century Fox's film, TV studio, FX Network, and National Geographic.
Yeah, that might be interesting, them owning FX, you know, like some of the like Netflix Marvel stuff, you know, the FX has usually been a little bit more racier, so, you know, a freaking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. style show on an FX channel might be a little more adult-oriented.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it has...
A freaking Sons of Anarchy style, like, you know, Wolverine or some shit.
I don't know. Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, you know, freaking Mayans.
We don't have a release date yet, but they've officially announced that is going to series. So we get to see Rocco from the Drinking Bros on on TV. And I Sons of Anarchy is probably one of my favorite shows. So I'm interested to see that. You know, the Mayans, if that's in that same kind of ballpark. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't know this, but basically, apparently with the Disney-Fox deal, The Simpsons is basically not going to change networks once the sale is finalized. It will, you know, presumably go under the name New Fox until, you know, their run comes to an end, whenever that is. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm still kind of curious about what the actual dynamic and happenings and everything else are. You know, once everything goes finalized, I mean, like we said during the main segment and stuff, you know, probably going to be another year to year and a half before all the details are hashed out and finalized.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, too, because, you know, the Fox TV also has, like, you know, the Batman, or, you know, Gotham, you know, traditionally DC-owned properties, so it's going to how that's going to pan out.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, a film that is really capturing my attention.
The X-Files show up on, you know, since Fox TV and ABC is both owned by Disney, we get some weird crossovers like fucking Mulder show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
Well, I don't know. Speaking of Ryan, or the Mayans and Rocco, you know, with the Fox being sold and everything, does that make Rocco a Disney princess now?
Absolutely.
Man, this princess is big as shit, bro. But no, speaking of the film Black Panther, Kendrick Lamar is actually set to produce, you know, Black Panther the album, and, you know, has released the first track. I mean,
some of the trailer music has been pretty.
Yeah,
pretty sweet.
I mean, I'm a fan of Kendrick Lamar. You know, in the era of mumble rap and everything else, you know,
I'm so sick of that.
Fresh content, so
I stopped listening to new music, and I got this when I bought my new phone. I got this like Samsung.
You know, when you stop listening to new music, you're officially old, yeah. Right?
But Samsung has this like music app called Tidal, and I got like a 6-month preview of that. So I tried to listen to the new Eminem and the new Dr. Dre albums, and they've gone like straight mumble rap. I'm like, oh my god, I only made it through like 3 songs. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, so you know. I don't know, you know, folks should go check out, the name of the song is called the All Stars, and, you know, like I said, it's fresh, you know, I'm digging it, and I'm looking really forward to the movie. Full soundtrack is set to release on February 9th, a week before the film. So, up next is...
I gotta go watch Iron Man so I can catch up on my, one Marvel movie a week to get ready for Infinity War, like we said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I loved all of the things before, you know, New Year's, like people posting, you know, start Star Wars at this specific, you know, time frame, and the Death Star will explode at midnight, or, you know, Die Hard, and at midnight, you know.
I did do that at Christmas. I did the Die Hard, started it at like 10-something, so... Hans drops at midnight, but I did not get around to the Star Wars New Year's.
So I definitely think that should be a thing for next year. But, you know, referencing Dragon Con earlier, you know, probably the biggest cosplays that I saw was based around Rick and Morty, Adult Swim's, you know, animated show.
Pickle Rick!
Yep.
So many Pickle Ricks.
Apparently, no one is working on Rick and Morty Season 4. So, you know, folks are like, you know, WTF, what's the holdup? This is successful. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, when it comes to Adult Swim, because, you know, shows that have had some continuity to them, you know, they tend to not bring back sometimes. I mean, we kind of saw like, that with Metalocalypse. We've seen that with...
or big, like, hiatuses between them. Like, you know, back in the day, things had... When they were off, they had freaking reruns and whatnot. But, you know, kind of FX, I think, started that model where, like, here's the season. We're not going to show anything until next season. Or, like, Game of Thrones, we're getting, like, freaking a year or so. I think the new season not starting until 2019. So, you know, it's one of those... And, another one that I think they just announced they're working on is the Young Justice animated series on Netflix. Where that one, where it was, there was like maybe a year or two hiatus between season one and season two. When season two started, there was like a year gap in the. And so like they're like, well, it took us this long to put it out. Let's move our characters forward a year or so, and then kind of catch you up on what has happened with it. So I thought that was kind of a cool way to doing that if you're going to make your fans wait a freaking year or so for a,
well,
a
I mean,
series.
You know, kind of the same thing happened with, you know, season three, you know. I mean, it took, I think it was like a year and a half before the, you know, renewal to its April Fool's premiere. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, Ryan Ridley has come out and said, yep, as far as I know, no one's working on the new show. He's certainly not. So, I don't know what's going on. So, you know, things are just kind of up in the air. I mean, you know, I think Ridley, you know, kind of finished with a great quote from Morty. You know, get your shit together, you guys. Get it all together and put it in a backpack.
I'm Pickle Rick!
Yes. And as we wrap up, if you're looking for mutant drama, The Gifted has been renewed for a second season at Fox.
Which, we've been actually, it's not one of the ones that I you know, cause how do you an X-Men movie with no X-Men, kind of like Gotham, how do you a Batman show with no Batman? So it wasn't one I was like super looking forward to, but you know, the fiance wanted to watch it, so I've been watching it with her, and it's not a bad film. I mean, it's in the X-Men universe. They refer to the X-Men, but for some reason they're all missing or whatnot. And it's also cool that it's kind of set here in Georgia, too. So you see some, you know, Atlanta landmarks and whatnot. So it's been good enough that it's caught my interest. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with Season 2, so, you know, giving it time to, because, you know, new shows, it always takes them at least a season to kind of find their footing and find their groove. So I'm just hoping eventually we find an X-Man.
Yeah, you know, the renewal, you know, basically there's going to be a 2-hour season one finale that's slated to air Monday, January 15th. So, you know, we'll just have to see, you know, what comes about in season two, or maybe during the finale, you know, do we get introduced to some of the actual...
You know, if nothing else, I'd at least like to know, like, what happened to the X-Men and the, you know, or it could be like, since this is kind of from the technology, looks like a not distant future, but, you know, kind of a near future. You know, if we remember from the Logan movie that, you know, Professor X kind of had a problem and accidentally wiped out the X-Men. So it could, like, you know, kind of tie into that stuff where, where it's, you know, almost a tie into the Logan movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, and speaking of Logan, you know, it was just announced a day or so ago that, you know, it has actually earned a WGA award nomination. So,
sweet.
You know, that was apparently kind of a surprise. So,
yeah, because that was not your typical, you know, you don't see, like, say, the Avengers getting awards because they're popular movies, but they're not so artistic that they generally win awards. But freaking Logan was, I mean, Logan was almost like a Western, or, you know, it was very... A very dramatic movie for having Wolverine in it. I mean, it was a damn good movie.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, apparently it's got the, you know, Writer Guild, you know, Association's attention. So, I mean, you know, like you said, it was a little bit off of that beaten path. So, I don't know. I think it's a cool nomination. Certainly, I would cast a vote. And with that, any other news or tidbits that you've stumbled across on them?
That would be it. You know, check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network, ESOPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @CigarNerdPod. And as soon as I have time, I think I'm going to start posting more video content on our Instagram. Maybe do some live cigar reviews or whatnot and just kind of give you something more than the, you know, twice a month content we're doing now, which I think I said that last year, but this year I'm a little more motivated. Go to get your energy drinks at strikeforceenergy.com, promo code cigar nerds. You can also get your cool, you know, nerd smoking shirts and cigar nerd smoking shirts at realmensmokecigars.com. You know, they have also, like, you know, got a new website up with some new shirts. They even sell the traditional Guy Bear shirts, and they're making leather, cool leather vests and whatnot now. So check out George and them and their stuff over there. And also remember, we're not in a prophecy. We're in a stolen Toyota Corolla. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.